You know, when I talk about us being saved at the cross, the scriptures state that we were saved there from the legal condemnation of the law. But does that mean then that that's all there is to salvation? No. In eternity, God purposed salvation. Salvation is a term in scripture that runs from eternity to eternity. I've been saved, I shall be saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. Those are all terms that we understand in scripture. But as far as my justification with God, it's a one-time justification. Took place there at the cross. And that's what we see with redemption. If you look over, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 30. If you're the Lord's, then here's the reason that's stated right here in 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, but of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. You would not be the Lord's except for God has done this work. Well, how am I in Christ Jesus? Well, it says, who of God is made unto us. There's substitution. Christ's work accomplished something on behalf of those sinners that God purposed to save. What did it accomplish? Well, it says here, wisdom. Do you suppose, given 1,000 years, or let's just say 1 year, or 20 years, or a lifetime, you could, without this word, have sat down and figured out a way for God to justify you as a sinner and still be just himself without lowering his standard? There's not a person in this world that could do it. That's why Christ is made unto us, what? Wisdom. Because by the Spirit of God, we see that he has been made by his wisdom. It's like we read in Isaiah 53. Bill read it for us back in the study before the service. But by my servant's knowledge shall he justify many. That's what that's talking about. He knew the law. He knew his Father. He knew his holiness. He knew everything that was necessary to be accomplished in order that he might be the just Savior. All right? But it doesn't matter whether it's Abraham or David. Their salvation was granted on the same basis as any sinner that the Lord has ever saved. It's the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we see here in verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If there's any part of my salvation, any part of Abraham's salvation, any part of David's that had to do with anything that they did, then stop talking about grace. What you're talking about then is reward. You're talking about debt. God owed them a debt. Isn't that even to say that is so blasphemous? But that's how a lot of people think. God owes so-and-so salvation. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. It's by grace. It says here in verse 5, this is the most astounding verse to people who've never heard the gospel. But to him that worketh not. Isn't that the way most of us have been raised? To work, to do, to be busy? Somehow running about and gaining God's favor? And yet, underline this in your Bible. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth who? The ungodly. Doesn't say justifieth the godly. Justifieth the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says his faith is counted for righteousness. In other words, that faith is given to look unto that righteousness. That's what faith's object is the very righteousness of God in Christ. A person that God has justified, when he's taught of the Spirit, he's not looking to himself. He's not looking to his works as the ground of that justification. He's looking to Christ. And then he gives the example here of David. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. He You know, you wonder sometimes why I keep insisting that righteousness is not imputed upon our believing. That would make it a work. I believe, therefore now God imputes to me righteousness. No, here it says, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So here in my text, we have this remembrance of his death. And I have to admit, often overlooked. Often overlooked, especially when the Lord says here in verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, I don't believe that means that every time we preach the gospel, we have to remember this particular woman. Otherwise, you'd have to say, well, I didn't preach the gospel. The gospel's about Christ. But everywhere where the gospel is preached in truth, the motive for what she did will be set forth. The message, the object of her faith will be the one who will be set forth. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified.